Coast to coast on the World Wide Web, this is Trot Radio on standardbredcanada.ca. Norm Borg here. It's one of the most talked about stories on our website these days. It's a proposal by Racing Commissions International to ban all medication and drugs from racing within 5 years' time. Well-intended? Yes. Is it controversial? Is it ever? We'll speak to Mr. William Coaster, the new chair of RCI, on this edition of Trot Radio. Welcome back to Trot Radio. William Coaster is the new chairman of RCI, Racing Commissions International. He enters a new role carrying what some consider a double-edged sword in proposing that all racing in North America become not only drug but medication-free within 5 years. Mr. Coaster, welcome to Trot Radio.
Thanks so much, Norm. Good to be with you.
I think I speak for everybody in the industry, both breeds, when I say that, you know, we do want our horses to be healthy and drug-free to the extent that they're not being given drugs that are non-therapeutic and only in performance-enhancing. But the issue of banning all medications, I think it's a real point of debate. Explain why your organization has taken such a sweeping approach.
Well, I think when you look at it, you know, I'm from Cincinnati, Ohio, and I'm on the Ohio Racing Commission, and Ohio has a very, very deep roots into the standardbred industry. I have met just the most wonderful people you could ever imagine here in the standardbred industry and thoroughbred as well. But what the sport has become is, you know, it's awkward and a bit embarrassing. I got horses. I mean, I've got two. If you own horses, you've probably got too many. Well, I'm just like everybody else. And what has happened here is our sport is dying. Mm-hmm. And people don't want to. They don't want to admit it. They want to fight it. But it'll always be around. There's no doubt about it. Horse racing, it will always be here. But I look for it someday, too, if we don't take some drastic measures. It's going to go back to revert back to what it was originally, the sport of kings. Mm-hmm. And what we have now is the perception, presently 38% of the people in, I don't know if it's so much in Canada, but in the United States of America, believe that horse racing should be abolished today.
Wow.
We have a very sordid opinion from the average person out there on the street. Mm-hmm. And you know, in today's world, you know, I get into it with the HPBA. Those guys are my friends. I think the world of them. And you know, they will fight me tooth and nail on this, and they will fight us all tooth and nail on this. Mm-hmm. But drugs and horses just does not pass the smell test. If you would take over and they accuse me of trying to make us like Europe. Mm-hmm. I don't want to make us like Europe. I want to make us like the world. You know, everything, you know, you turn on television, everything's a world economy, a world this, a world that. Well, why should we over here do drugs when no one else does? I mean, it sets the sport back. I believe that we're on the right side of the issue here. We're taking the moral high ground. In today's world, I'll give you a good example, and I hope the people will hang with me on this. Mm-hmm. If you meet some people that have a lot of money and you take them to the track, whether it be standardbred or thoroughbred, and a young guy with his wife, and they're very affluent, and you show them what goes on, and they fall in love with the sport, and they say, okay, we want to be a part of this sport, and you explain to them, well, okay, you can buy a mare, fold the mare out. You can buy a weanling, a yearling, a two-year-old. You can buy a horse pretty much wherever you want to go. And say the woman says, oh, I want to have a baby. So you buy and you fold the mare out. You teach her about, well, of course, in standardbred, it's AV and where it's natural and thoroughbred. Mm-hmm. So the foal is born and the foal grows up. And all this is on YouTube. And they're documenting how wonderful this is. And the horse becomes a yearling, and then it becomes a two-year-old, and it's getting ready to race. And they're photographing or filming all this, and then 4 hours out before a race, they stick a needle in the horse. Mm-hmm. Now, if that would be on YouTube, and people would see that, what do you think the average person looking at that would think? you know, here's my horse getting ready to race. Now I'm sticking needle in the horse's neck.
Well, and this leads to the question, though, of possible parameters. I mean, what are we talking here when it comes to medication? I mean, if I apply a sweat to a horse, is that a form of medication? And if so, would that be banned?
I would refer to it as injections.
Okay.
Whether it be, you know, the Lasix 4 hours out, or the Butte, which is 24 hours out, and I don't know if you follow RCI, but the RMTC, the Racing Medication Testing Consortium, just issued an opinion, and we at RCI ruled that, the Butte level go from 5 milligrams per milliliter to 2. And the HPBA was outraged about this.
Well, sure, because the T-breds are the only ones that are allowed to use Butte, are they not?
Oh, well, to my knowledge, yes.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, that's a real struggle. And it wasn't because they were using Butte. It was because what they were doing is you give Butte 24 hours out, and they were topping off Morning Love. Mm-hmm. So the horsemen's groups, are right now, they're very desperate, and I understand that. I mean, you know, I mean, heck, I'm in Ohio. We race at Raceway Park, which I believe at this time is the lowest purses in the nation. I do not know how these people survive.
Yeah.
I mean, they are running literally for ham sandwiches at this track.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, so, I don't mean to laugh, yeah, but it's a reality.
Say it the truth. Yes, it is, sir.
Now, the argument that some have put forth, those that are totally in favor of your proposition, is that, look, you know, you can use Lasix and Butte to mask some of the more cheaters' drugs, as it were. So you have a valid point there with that. Let me ask you about the argument put forth by some horse people, and most of them are responsible individuals. They care about the welfare of the animal. Is that, look, a racehorse is an athlete. All athletes suffer aches and pains, require some medications of a therapeutic variety. Now, I know the racehorse didn't ask for the job, but, you know, what is wrong with that, per se? If it's something more therapeutic, yeah, maybe it doesn't look necessarily good when people might see a horse given a needle on YouTube, but it's no different than, you know, a cortisone shot given to a pitcher who's got tendonitis.
I have no problem with therapeutic medication. If a horse needs some medication, that's fine. All I'm talking is 48 hours before a race.
Okay,
that's what I'm talking about. In the standardbred world here in Ohio, we don't have a rule that a lot of the states have that you can run a 2-year-old on Lasix. To me, given a baby Lasix is unconscionable. I mean, if a baby needs Lasix, if a baby's a bleeder, the baby needs to go back to the farm and grow up.
Mm-hmm. That is true. But, you know, this is what gets me, because, you know, we're in a position where we're saying, why can't we leave the older horses on the track, the older superstars on the track? Well, gosh, you know, we're so obsessed with racing 2- and 3-year-olds for huge purses. That sort of thing's going to happen, isn't it?
It definitely is going to happen.
Yeah. You know, I found it interesting you pointed to some well-known horses, such as Curlin and the legendary Cigar, who ran drug-free. That leads to, I think, the argument, and bear with me on this, leads to the argument of horse supply, affordability, and further disparity, I think, that might be created between the standardbred and the thoroughbred industry. Here's what I mean. All the drug-free horses you mentioned were thoroughbred, and I would suggest that those in the T-bred game are generally more affluent. That's why it's the sport of kings and we're the people's sport. They can afford to spend a lot of money on a yearling. If it gets too sore, they can always sell him as a show horse. And eventually they'll come across a phenomenon like Cigar, who was able to race pain-free. Those of us in the standardbred game, as you are well aware, can't always afford that same luxury. So then, you know, what happens if we cannot race? You know, what happens to horse supply? Is there going to be a lot less horses that are going to be available? And marginally sore horses won't be able to fill the void? You know, there's the old difference between sound and racing sound. Your thoughts?
My thoughts on that is, with or without medication or drugs, whatever you want to call it, horse racing is shrinking. It's going to shrink either way. We do not have the, at one time, horse racing was the number one spectator sport there was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are now, on sports channels, we are shown less than bass fishing, pool, bowling, and cheerleading. I mean, and it's sad but true. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I know on the Thoroughbred side, the NTRA has to pay ESPN to put horse races on that are not the classic type races.
Yeah.
In Ohio here, we have my favorite race, which if anybody of your listening audience ever gets a chance, someday they have to go to the Little Brown Jug.
Here.
The Little Brown Jug is Americana on steroids.
Isn't it?
It is the best of the best.
Mm-hmm.
And to see, you know, to see those horses come in and compete like they do, and if you're familiar with the jug, you realize that, you know, they have to run heats.
Yeah.
And I tell you, those horses are magnificent to be able to do what they can do.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, you know, a thoroughbred do what they did, they'd be over. You know,
oh, for sure.
It would be
the average thoroughbred race. I mean, you know, the decent thoroughbreds may race what, 13 times a year. What do our
That's
guys
correct.
Race? 40.
They're the best. I mean, mm-hmm. and actually, we have another. A track down here, Scioto Downs in
sure.
Columbus, and the general manager to me is kind of the gold standard. Her name is Stacy Cahill,
mm-hmm.
and she knows just about everybody in the business. And I went to her and I said, "Hey, Stace, would you do me a favor?" And she said, "What?" And I said, "Would you write a couple races, and we won't have to call them the Iron Man races, but I would like horses that have had, you know, 100 starts." To be able to run,
mm-hmm.
and right away a bunch of the horsemen said, "Well, you're never going to fill those fields." Well, they didn't fill the field; they filled two.
Really?
Yes, they did.
Here's a question, though. Going back to the jug and heat racing, I mean, I think if I'm not mistaken, the jug is the only one left that does that. If we're concerned about the optics, what do you think the average person that doesn't know anything about harness racing is going to say? I'm not sure they're going to say, "My, what a hardy breed." They're going to say, "Oh, my goodness, they're racing those horses twice in one day."
You know what? I don't think they would say that if they were not running on medication. Say, this is what this horse is built to do. I mean, everybody has seen the movie Hidalgo. You know, they have the long races. Horses have the ability to do that. I know, you know, our problem here at the jug is, and we're working real hard to try to get the purse back to up to $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
A couple years back, the great racehorse, Some Beat Somewhere, did
sure.
not show up,
yep.
and it broke our hearts. I mean, it's all about money. But back to what you said as far as the horses go, I don't think there's a shortage of horses. What there is there's a shortage of owners.
Mm. Good point.
You can go to. I was at the Delaware sales a couple months back, and they sold a full sister to Shadow Play for under $7,000. I was shocked. And
yeah.
of course, you know how standardbred people are; they're very discriminating. And it was a chestnut. For some reason, unbeknownst to me, standardbred people do not like chestnuts.
You know what I find remarkable is that standardbred people live on dreams. They're willing to take a colt that can't stand straight in the auction ring, but it's a full brother to whoever. So, hey, I'll get him right, but God forbid he's a chestnut.
Yes, correct.
You know, I congratulate you for what you're trying to do. Certainly, this is an issue that is going to require a lot more debate and a lot more, let's say, massaging. The intent is obviously pure gold, and, you know, if it helps put a few more people into our game, which is, as you said, Mr. Toaster, shrinking, then, you know, I say here. Thank you so much for being with us on Trot Radio.
It's been my pleasure, and all the best to the people up there listening, and I wish you all the best with your race.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye now.
You have a great day.